Today's lesson is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 3, and we read verses 3 to 15. Let us hear the word of God. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense in the higher places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will be never, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court.
Thanks, Herman. I like you guys. Yeah, you're nice. Well, most of you. No, I'm joking. I like all of you. You really, really like your people. The struggle nowadays with how busy life is becoming and how much information we've got and how complicated life seems to be have become is always knowing what's the next step. What should I do next? Figuring out, okay, this has happened, this is where we are, okay, so now what? That figuring out is not an easy process, and it's one of the things that you know the advice that you give to your buddies. Your life has got this way of just knocking you out of the park to the point where all the advice that you would give your buddies, because you can see the answers to their problems so easily, so clearly, and then life knocks you and you go like, you just don't know what to do next. It's like all your answers evaporate like the mist in the morning sun. It's just gone. And if you struggle to figure out the next step and you don't know what to do, but you realize, okay, this next step actually comes with very real consequences. If I choose this way, it comes with real consequences. If I choose this way, it comes with very real consequences. Then, we really begin to battle. That is when we begin to need wisdom, just like Solomon did. You see, Solomon was the new kid on the block. He was chosen by his dad to follow him as king. But the problem that he had was that his dad was the man. He was the guy. He was the guy that united Israel. He was the guy that was a military genius. He expanded Israel's territory. He was the guy that everybody said, you know, that guy, the short king, you know, he's a man after God's own heart. Yes, he had his flaws, but he was that guy, you know, that guy. And so Solomon has to follow in his footsteps. And initially Solomon could ride the wave of his dad's popularity, of his dad's favor and his dad's momentum. He could ride that wave. But as we read just now, he loved God. But what was interesting about the word love there, it's I didn't have time this week to really go and dig deep in it, but it's a strange word for love. It's a watered down type love for God. It wasn't as passionate as his dad's love, as David's love. But he had the momentum and he loved God and he wanted to show his devotion to God and his love for God by going and offering sacrifices at Gibeon. Apparently, Gibeon to this day still exists, but it's in Palestine and it's a town called El Jib. So for those of you who've been there before, you can show us photos later. But it's still there. But that was the place because they haven't built a temple yet. So there was no place to offer the sacrifices. So Solomon goes to Gibeon and there he ends up offering the sacrifices. And God comes with probably the biggest blank check offer in the history of humanity to anybody. In a dream, he appears to Solomon and he says to him, "But ask. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you." Now, Solomon had been trained by his dad. If you go and read Proverbs, the first couple of chapters, you'll see there, my dad used to print it into me. My boy, whatever you want, whatever you seek, whatever you need, don't chase the money, don't chase the girls, don't chase the fame, fortune, chase wisdom. Wisdom is the thing. If you've got wisdom, it's worth more than anything else. Go for the wisdom. So when God comes and he offers Solomon this blank check, Solomon could have made it about himself and he could have asked a whole bunch of stuff. But he says, God, I need something from you. I need a hearing heart. I need a hearing heart, a hearing and understanding heart. Actually, God, I need wisdom, lots of it, because I know I'm out of my depth. I know I'm the new lighty on the block. I know I've got no idea what I'm doing, you know, like most of us anyway nowadays. We do life, but we just pretend, because it's not like we really know what we're doing. But he says, I know this. And what was fascinating about his request was this, is this, I want to look at the source, the focus, and the outcome. Source, focus, and outcome. Now, because he had this deep awareness, listen here, I don't know what I'm doing. He was 3,000 years ahead of his time. I'll tell you why I say that. Because the dictionary defines wisdom as qualities such as knowledge, experience, and good judgment. You know, that's how wisdom is normally. The qualities of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The Urban Dictionary, and this is why Solomon was 3,000 years before his time. Urban Dictionary defines wisdom as knowing what you know, knowing what you don't know, and not just knowing it, but doing something with what you do, with what you know. It's knowing what you don't know, knowing what you know, knowing what you don't know, and then doing something with what you do know. There's wisdom is something that is more than knowledge. It sort of enables you to do something. And Solomon realized this. He realized, I'm the new kid on the block. I'm the guy who don't know, but I've got to be able to do this. And so he quoted 3 millennia before the time. He quoted the Urban Dictionary. which you can go and Google today, later today. Some very interesting definitions for certain things on the Urban Dictionary. But he knew that he didn't know. But he also knew that he had to do something. And so he asked God for a hearing heart. But what is interesting is that he asked for the source, not for the type of wisdom. Now, the type of wisdom, the idea that there are different types of wisdom, is something that's a little bit foreign to us. People don't really think about types of wisdom. But I'll read you a couple of verses from James 3. So, Nak, will you put that, he speaks about wisdom. Now, this is Grace's favorite book in the Bible. It's the one, if I could tear it out, I would. Okay. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, James writes about this, and he says, listen here, there are different types of wisdom. Okay? First type he describes, you see it all around you. You see it, whom have you still watched the news or listened to the news? Just checking. Okay, so we've got a couple of suckers. Okay. The rest have learned. Okay, but the reality is, you only need to switch on a television for like 15 seconds to a minute, and you see the first type of wisdom just displayed. It's right there. It's people who go and say, but listen here, this is the way that we do things. This is how we're supposed to. We've got these. This is in the Constitution. This is how you're supposed to do life. Da, 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 da. And they run with this. And you see just about every news article, the effect of it, where there are reports of envy, bitterness, self-seeking, confusion. You read the news, you go like, what the hell's going on here? And James makes the point. He says, listen here, this is a type of wisdom. It's earthly, it's carnal, it comes from us. It's below, it doesn't come from heaven. And if you choose to operate with that kind of wisdom, guess what you do? You sort of like, imagine this is a landing strip for an aeroplane. This aisle, then what you do is you roll out the aisle and say to evil, please come and have your way here. Now, what is interesting for me is that in society today, we look at the outcome, the envy, the bitterness, the fighting, the confusion, the absolute chaos that's going around. And we all go like, yo, we need to bind the devil, ne? We need to fight this thing in the spirit. But we don't realize, but hang on, if you follow James's thread, he says, whoa, 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 there's a type of wisdom that leads to these fruits. And it's earthly wisdom. It's doing things like everybody else is doing it. Comparing yourself to the Joneses you don't even like, the neighbors you don't even like. And just trying to be, you know, like half a centimeter, half a step ahead of them. You know, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as these guys. You know, it's like, you know, that's earthly wisdom. And when we choose that as a type of wisdom, then what happens is you say to the devil, please, Mr. Devil, come and have your way. Bring the destruction, the death, confusion, everything that you want to have. Have your way amongst us. But he says there's another kind of witnesses, wisdom as well, another type of wisdom, God's wisdom. And he says, and I had to write this down because we see it so seldom that all the characteristics of God's wisdom, we have to write them down because you think to yourself, hey, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, showing no partiality, No falsehood. What you see is what you get. There's no force to God's wisdom. Interesting how it differs. You go like, have you heard of that? Well, James says, God's type of wisdom, that's how it looks. So you've got different types of wisdom, but different types of wisdom implies different sources of wisdom that from which this type of wisdom flows from. And James makes that point. He says, listen, you and I have got the choice. We can choose where we want to get our source from our wisdom. We can make it ourselves, constitution, worldly wisdom, what people say, what your mother taught you, what you've been taught in the church, all those types. You can make that your source of wisdom. Or, and now everybody knows because I emphasized the also, this is actually the right option. You know, the one that follows now is the good one. You can make God your source of wisdom. And this is what made Solomon's request so genius, because he didn't ask for the type of wisdom. He said, Lord, give me the mechanism so that I can tap into the source of wisdom. Give me a hearing heart, a hearing and understanding heart. Because in order to tap into God's wisdom, into Him becoming the source, you and I have to have a hearing heart, a heart that is humble, a heart that is open to hear from Him. And that's what Solomon asked, firstly. So we've got the source. But then the focus. If you jump back to James, James will tell you, okay, right, listen here, the type of wisdom is determined by the focus of the person trying to apply. Was that a child or an animal? Must have been a child. Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad it's not my child. But it's not beneath my children to do that. Okay, so the source is determined by focus. Let's jump back. Earthly, soulish wisdom. The one that invites the devil in. Where is the focus of that? He says where selfish ambition and self-seeking is. I repeated the word twice there. Should give you a clue. If the focus is on myself, protecting myself, looking after myself, making plans for me, what is in it for me, that type of wisdom, if that is your focus, then James says, okay, here's what's going to happen. It's earthly. It's carnal, it's soulish, and it opens the door for the demonic. That's crazy. Focusing on self, trying to look after myself, opens the door for the devil to have direct access into my life. That's what James says. Solomon, under the guidance of his dad, actually said, when he got the blank check, he goes like, the people, the nation, I have to govern them. And I know that I don't know how. And I know that I have to govern them before you, God. Where was his focus? People, God. And because his focus was not on himself, it pleased God. And that focus, that place where we choose to place our focus, which impacts where we get our, where we source our wisdom from, is very important. Because where do we live nowadays? We live in a time where wisdom for us is each man for himself. Is that not true? As long as the unholy trinity, I, myself, and me. You know, if we and the people that we love are all right, stuff the rest. That's where we live. And we don't realize that that focus gives direct access to the devil operating. Look around wherever you see, whenever you look at the news, when you read the news or listen to the news, listen to the focus And then ask yourself, the stuff that we're seeing now happening in our society, could it be that because we focus on ourselves and our trust in our own ability to figure things out, that we're having these fruit in society? It's a possibility. Source, focus, outcome. James makes a very interesting point, and I've sort of alluded to this now for a couple of times now. If the focus was on self, it's a direct invitation for the devil, for the demonic, to manifest, to impact your life. Isn't it crazy that you and I can choose how much to allow in our lives? That's a crazy, crazy, crazy thought. That we can choose to allow envy, bitterness, strife, confusion, you know, anger, jealousy, those things. We can choose to allow that in our lives, you know, if we make the focus on ourselves. That will be the outcome, the fruits that we will have in our lives. When we say, okay, well, I'm going to trust my own ability to figure stuff out. Solomon, on the other hand, said, Lord, focus is not on me. People, you. And God says, okay, you could have placed the focus on you. So the very thing, or the things that you didn't ask for, I'm going to give them to you. It resonates, Matthew 6, where God says, Jesus says, first seek the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I can see some of you shaking your heads. Yeah, yeah, we know what's coming. Yes, yes. And all these things will be added onto you. Yeah, yeah. But where's the focus? Focus, yes, seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek God. Look at the people around you. Don't make it about yourself. The moment you make it about yourself, you open up your life for the very fruit that you don't want. But if you take a step back, say, God, my focus is on you. My focus is on the people around me. Guess what God does? He says, the things you didn't ask for, I'm going to give them to you. So, we live in a time where we need to figure out the next steps. We all need wisdom. Not just knowledge, but knowing what the next step actually should be. Yeah. We want the fruit. We want the peace. We want the prosperity. We want all those type of things. But the challenge for us is not to chase after the fruit. The challenge is for us to keep our eyes fully focused on the source. And so the question to you today is this, you beautiful, nice-smelling, amazing people with children that are just about as loud as I am, okay? Here's the question. What's your source? Who is your source? Who's your source for wisdom? Okay, so you go like, well, I assume it's God. Hope, you know, touch wood type thing. No. Let's get practical. Do you get up in the morning and go like, Lord, I've got a day lying ahead of me. Please direct my steps. Do you do what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3 where he says, know him, factor him in, bring him in all of your ways, not some of the ways. I'm, of course, and this is the gospel according to Jacques, if you were to listen, he would tell you all to become Stormer supporters and not Cheetah supporters. I'm still looking for it in the Bible. The closest I've come to it is Jesus calmed the storm, not the cheetah. Okay, so that's bad, but I'm still looking. But do you factor him into all your decisions? Yeah. And then the next question becomes with the focus. But now when I speak about the focus, I can ask you, so where's your focus? But it's actually quite difficult because we all have master's degrees in deceiving ourselves. There is nobody on this planet who can lie as much as a weatherman to you like yourself. It's crazy how we can deceive ourselves. And so the question I would ask you is, so where's your focus? And most of you will go like, well, on the people that I love. I hope it's not entirely on me. then it's like, okay, what's the next? Let's just look at the outcome. What's currently happening in your life with things like anger, jealousy, fighting, confusion? Describe your life, or with things like peace, willingness to yield, transparency, a mercyfulness. Is there a word like mercyfulness? Ah, just made one up like that. Yes, we're growing the language as we go along. But which describe yours, your life, more? Because you have to reverse engineer it. You have to reverse engineer. Look at the fruit. Okay, so, oh, crumbs. I'm a little more towards jealousy, because did you see what she got and what I don't have? I'm a little bit more in terms of the bitterness. Do you remember what that guy did to me? That bloody idiot. Yeah, those type of things, you know? If that is the fruit, okay, so that means where's the focus? On the other or on self? Oops, it's on self. Oops, guess what you're doing? You're inviting the devil to have a party with your life. And then the next thing would be, so, okay, so I'm following and I can fully justify my wisdom because everybody else gives me the justification and all the good arguments, but I'm not really tapping into God's heart, into His world, because I don't really have a hearing heart to tap in from His wisdom. The challenge for you and me, like I said just now, is not to focus on the outcome, but to focus on the source. And here's the crazy part about the gospel. Jesus said this as well. He said, if you want to keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life, you will keep it. We all seem to think that if I focus on myself, then my life will look a particular way. We learn from Solomon and from Jesus and from James. We learn that, listen here, strangely enough, the life you hope to live comes from not trying to make the life that you hope to live happen, but to say, God, you're my source. I'm not going to make this happen. I trust you. Source my wisdom from you. My focus is on you and your kingdom first. And God says, I will take care of the outcome. So make sure of your source, keep your focus, and enjoy the outcome. Does that make sense? Sweet. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you invite us into your world. We know we don't deserve it. And Lord, it's easy to speak about it here in an environment where all of us are clean and nice smelling and it's lekker. But Lord, when we walk out those doors and life hits us and the bosses hits us and the realities and the bank balances and all the issues that we face, Father, we would like to have different fruit in our lives. But give us the grace to make you the source. Give us hearing hearts, so that we can trust you, rely on you, hear from you, live from you, and that the focus in our hearts would be you and your kingdom first. Help us not to stare ourselves blind on the outcome, but help us to seek you, your wisdom, and your kingdom first as a priority of our lives. We need your Holy Spirit and your empowering grace to do that in us. And that's what we ask you for now, Father. And we do it in the name of our King Jesus. Amen.